Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. We're following up on our series looking at the issues surrounding poverty and disability. So tell me a little bit about how New Song is working to improve things for the impoverished who may have disabilities in the area.
New Song Church has now been going 23 years, and early on in our development, we recognized that our congregation was called to live on the fringes of poverty and to care for everybody that came across our path, regardless of their social status, ability or lack of ability, their skills or their limits, and to see each person as somebody who's made in the image of God, somebody whose worth and value is based on the fact that they're human being, not on what they bring or don't bring to the table. So New Song Church is we've always had a culture of acceptance and hospitality towards everybody, and so we do things like we have a feeding program where Tuesday to Friday, as well as Saturday night, we have meals that there's certainly hunger in Windsor. Hunger is part of poverty, but I would say that the perhaps the greater need than hungry bellies is empty souls, people who feel alone and disconnected. And so our feeding programs are more about creating an environment of hospitality and acceptance and a place where people can be known. We all probably remember the sitcom quite a few years ago, Cheers. You know, and the whole thing about Cheers was it was a place where everybody knows your name, and so we believe that's the way that we as a church should be. It should be a place where everybody knows your name, where people can be known, and where they can know others. We do other things as well. We have people involved in advocacy that take people to medical appointments, help them with ODSP, help them with different appointments that where they need to get help. And so we will help direct people to where they can get help. We'll sometimes accompany them to court appointments, speak on their behalf, different things like that. And one time we used to do clothing, but we realized that to do clothing well, you need a lot of space and a lot of manpower to maintain it. So we've primarily focused more on food and hospitality. We also are distributors of Forgotten Harvest, so every week we give out hundreds of pounds of produce and give away bread and different food items. Although we would prefer to have people sit at a table for a prepared meal than just to be a food bank. Food banks are a little more impersonal. You come in, you get what you need, and you leave. A meal requires people to sit down with others and take some time, and we value that.
So, in terms of the atmosphere you're creating, you're overcoming one of the biggest barriers of all, especially for someone who might be affected by something like mental health issues. Creating community is sort of bridging the gap. It's creating a positive space wherein they can feel accepted and understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, mental health is certainly, big indicator in poverty. A lot of mental health issues in poverty. And so we see many people that have mental health issues come our way. And I think an important aspect to that is helping build a community where those who struggle with mental health are being watched out for, where interventions sometimes happen. We've had to intervene at times when a person's mental health is in breakdown, and we've had to call the ambulance, or we've had to sit and talk to them about their mental health issues and just encourage positive change.
So, in terms of your outreach program and providing the proper connections, the proper nutrition, the proper leads to medical services, has there been any success moment that really stands out for you?
Several successes. I think for every success, there's always the situations where it didn't go well or people didn't receive the help or get the help. But among the successes, having helped people that needed hospitalization, for example, to overcome their fear of going into the hospital for psychiatric care, and then being able to visit them in the hospital and see that they're in a situation where they're not going to harm themselves, and then when they come out of the hospital, to be able to maintain that contact and take a lot of the fear out of that people face when they're dealing with medical and mental health issues. If you have to do it all by yourself, that can be frightening for some people. And if you know that somebody understands a little bit of what you're going through or is willing to talk to you about what you're dealing with and encourage you to take positive steps. Mental health is a tricky one, isn't it? Because, you can't just say to somebody who's in a deep depression, well, you just need to snap out of it, or, pull yourself up by your socks. Yeah, that's insulting to a person who has lost their thought control. What's more helpful is being able to say to somebody, I know that this is your illness and that you aren't able to control your thoughts right now, but let's get you some help. Let's get you through this. This is not the intended permanent state of your life. You can outlive this season of the dark night of the soul, and you can live again. And then to actually watch people that have been through very dark depressions or bipolar or schizophrenia, to see them be able to get to a place where they have the tools they need to not just stay alive, but also to find ways that they can thrive, that they can belong, that they can have meaningful community, and spirituality. You know, the many times when people are experiencing some form of mental illness, they either get delusional about religious ideas, or they feel, because they're in this darkness, that God must be angry with them and they must be doomed to hell. And you know, they may have had a very intimate relationship with God, but in the illness, suddenly those feelings are gone and they don't know how to cope with that. And to know that, you know, they are okay, that God has not abandoned them, that even in this dark place, God is there, and that they can make it through.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thanks, Cam.
Of course. The simple truth, my friends, is those living in poverty have no less of a right to access than those who can afford better medical care or better services. For individuals with disabilities, the need is the same. And my perspective has always been that those who have disposable resources have not just an obligation, but a privilege to share with the less fortunate, just to give them an opportunity, better access, better medical care, better nutrition, a better life, my friends. And that is the goal of every human being. And more than that, it is something they should be entitled to. It is not a matter of one person having everything and another having nothing. If shared correctly, everyone can get the access and the services they need. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Are you a University of Windsor student suffering with concerns like depression, anxiety, other mental health issues, relationship or culture shock? Professional therapists at the CAW Center are here to help. We offer short-term and crisis counseling for any full or part-time University of Windsor students. Our offices are located in 293 at the CAW Center, so walk in to make an appointment. We are open Monday to Friday at 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., so walk in and get help. More information can be found at the UN website.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Pastor Kevin Rogers. He's talking about some of the issues surrounding poverty and disability. This segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Bob Cameron from the Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative. So tell me a little bit about some of the issues surrounding poverty and disability in the Windsor community.
Poverty and disability.
Yes.
Sorry, I thought you said property and disability. I suppose they're connected. Well, obviously, having the resources to deal with adversities or challenges or limitations that come with it are a big factor. And I think then it plays that increased adversity just adds to discouragement and motivation, which really can tax or challenge folks, eh? So there, I think one leads to the other, and just makes it more difficult for folks to overcome their difficulties or their disabilities. I see that in housing inventory. So what kind of place do I have available to live? I see that downtown, or it makes it difficult for folks to find suitable places. So to find an affordable place might not necessarily be a safe place. And safe being either in the environment, the physical environment for dealing with my disability, and or the community around me. And so then I think folks tend to isolate, be suspicious of neighbors, and that's a discouraging part. And so there's kind of an isolation or an alienation that takes place.
So how is the Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative working to create sort of a safe space to overcome these barriers?
Yeah, one element would be just trying to be good neighbors. That relationship is a component that programs often, as valuable as they are, don't provide on an experience outside of the program itself. So how do we be good neighbors? It means being attentive to folks, acknowledging persons of worth, regardless of ability or disability as they see it, treating people as value, and listening, being just good neighbors in that way, becomes a key factor in providing a good, safe neighborhood. But a good place to grow up and a good place to grow old.
So
that's our goal, is the primary one, is just building, nurturing relationships that make folks say, hey, I don't have to be a stranger. I don't have to be isolated. There are folks I can trust, begin to trust, and do life with.
So in this way, sharing of resources, being a good neighbor, that can overcome some of the things like lack of access to proper nutrition or knowing where to go to get health care assistance, that sort of thing.
That's true. I think research has shown, although I couldn't pull up the studies, that friendly advice or a listening ear is really good therapy that's helpful. And also it's our network. So who my network is, and welcoming someone into that network that provides constructive or positive resources, expertise, just comes through knowing folks. You know, we say, like, you know, how do folks find a job? Well, it's probably through who you know, more so than what you find on the filling out resumes. And the same thing is, if we extend our networks and make a safe place for folks to connect into relationship, then it just makes it easier for folks to access greater, broader networks of health and help.
So in your time working in this arena, has there been any success moment that stands out for you in terms of overcoming these perceptions and these myths surrounding isolation?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of personal ones through our relationship. I think one was, we looked at one recently of someone who's elderly, and so then their limitations become, you know, just their physical health, and the normal recourse is you sell your house or you move into a place, an assisted supportive resident. And just by being in a neighborhood and having good neighbors who looked after them when they needed groceries brought in the house, friendship, just helping out in everyday stuff, allowed this person to stay in their home till their passing, their death just recently. And thought, oh, you know, if we had not been there as just good neighbors, their story might have been different 3, 4, 5 years ago. And quality of life, sense of still limited, living within their limitations, but being able to do it in their own home, maintain their independence as long as possible was realized. And I think we would say that is a good neighborhood to grow old in. Feeling it was safe enough and there were people that cared with them while they were still maintaining their independence.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
You're very welcome.
It's organizations like the Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative that are really speaking hope into the lives of those affected. But honestly, it is something that depends upon each one of us as citizens. Take that step and say, I can meet the needs of someone around me. I can be a positive force of change.
This is Cam Wells here with
Sherry Gagno.
She's going to be telling us a little bit about some of the work that goes on here for the underprivileged.
But other disability issues. I work at Windsor Essex Family Network, and I'm a parent leader. If you like to talk about that, I can talk.
Yeah, sure. So can you tell me a little bit about your experiences with disability issues?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm a parent with two boys with disabilities. My oldest is 16 years old, and he has a rare neurological condition called schizencephaly. And my second child has autism. And I'm also a parent leader at Windsor Essex Family Network, and where we support families and people with disabilities through our grassroots organization.
So what is it that led you to the dinner here tonight?
Well, what led me to the dinner here tonight was my husband a few years ago had heard what was happening here at the church, and he wanted to check it out for himself. So he came for a few weeks and started to volunteer. And he thought it was a really good outreach, a really good ministry here. I think what was the thing that we liked the most is that they don't discriminate against anyone, that everyone is welcome. If you feel you need a meal, there's, no screening, no, questioning. If people come, they get served, and this is the way they show the love of Christ.
So for those who don't have as much financially or as much access, things like proper nutrition can only serve to either create or exacerbate disabilities themselves. So something like this is a welcome outreach program.
Yeah, I would definitely say so, because we do know that employment for people who have disabilities is not as high as the typical population. And those who are living off disability supports tend to have much lower income and are often living at poverty. So when you have programs that have fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, meat, protein, those are certainly wonderful ways that we can also help people with disabilities.
So from what you've observed at these dinners, have you seen that people with disabilities coming in feel that sense of connection, that sense of belonging?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think that's one of the strengths of the program is after a while it becomes a community here, that people get to know one another, and people from all different abilities are here together, so it's not a segregated program. They're making genuine connections in the community, and people get to know who you are. So yes, I think it's great.
So are there any challenges for a person with a disability coming into a situation like this in terms of saying, I need this help, I want a good meal, I want that sense of community?
Yeah, no, I don't. From what I can perceive and tell, this church is accessible by a bus route. The building is accessible. It's easy for wheelchairs to get in. And there, as far as I can tell, there were several wheelchairs here tonight, so people had a lot of access, and there is no discrimination.
So in your time with these dinners, observing people with disabilities, has there been any success that stood out for you, any moment that really just grabbed you?
Well, being a parent myself, I really don't... I just see people with disabilities like anyone else. So I think what in generally stood out for me is that everybody's treated the same.
Yeah. So if you could see anything added to what's available to these good people, what would it be?
For this program that might be more beneficial, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Nothing that I'm aware of, from my perspective. But, you know, I am a disability advocate, but I'm not a person with disabilities, so I think that question is best for somebody with a disability. Maybe they might have a perspective.
So if you could send any message about the need for a program like this, what would you say?
I would say that programs like this need to continually get support from the community so they can continue to run. It's a wonderful, authentic outreach in the community where anybody can come, where you can make friends, where you can connect with people of different age, race, ability, and I think it's, you know, a good way to build community and connection on top of meeting people's physical needs by providing a healthy meal.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
You're welcome.
Poverty and disability is a vicious cycle, I think, my friends. If a person doesn't have the resources to access proper medical care or proper nutrition, it only makes a bad situation worse. No one should be out there, just on their own, facing these issues, and then finding there is an answer, but they just can't reach it. It's organizations like Downtown Windsor Community Collaborative, like New Song, many, many others in the area that are banding together to say, we can do better than this, folks. We can be a force of positive change. We do not have to just give up on these people who have so much to contribute to society. They have untapped, unexplored potential, as with anyone else in the world. The truth of the matter is, it all comes down to a simple question. What do we do with the resources we have? Do we hoard them for ourselves and get a bunch of stuff we don't need anyway? Or do we take a chance and invest in humanity? Help those out there who just need a little bit of equality and a little bit of respect and consideration. If you build somebody up, the effect of that is never lost. The thing is, you're possibly shaping somebody's entire outlook on life when you just give them a chance to recognize that they are equal and valued. It is not about what a person has on a balance sheet. It is about the fact that we are all human and all capable, regardless of what makes us special, what makes us unique. Circumstances can change on a dime, no pun intended. For the fact is, a person may live their whole life, then suddenly acquire a disability, or financial circumstances may change, and they may be the person asking for help. But you've got to remember, these are all just people. People who have lived with strength and courage, who maybe got an unfriendly deal at the cards. But that too can change. We can be those who stand beside our fellow human beings. We can be a force of powerful change and of creation for these people, creating opportunities, jobs, hope for their future. Hopelessness, prejudice, these are the biggest disabilities of all. But the good part about it is, these are the ones that we can cure the most easily. It is simply a matter the human race taking the time to say, I have so much, I'm going to give with the best of what I can. And that is what these good people have chosen to do. And we must never underestimate the impact of their work. We must always recognize that even by changing the smallest thing, it can be the first of many open doors. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.